Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. I hope that you are having a great day, that you're enjoying this beautiful day that the Lord has given to us. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in Him. And again, I'm thankful that you've joined us. I hope that these times are an encouragement to you and help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord and strengthen you in your life as you walk with Him. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But more than anyone, I want to thank the Lord for inviting us to Himself, inviting us into a relationship with Himself, giving us this time to hear from Him and to be together. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for the day that you have given to us. Lord God, your goodness and your grace. Father, your love for us. Father, we're thankful that a God such as you would want to speak with people like us, weak, frail, sinners, O God. Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, that you are mindful of us, and Lord God, that you desire to redeem us, to adopt us as your own. Father, for us to spend eternity with you. Father, we are so thankful unto you. We ask that you open our minds and our hearts. Lord, that you give us understanding of your word, that we personally hear from you, Lord, and we grow in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, as you have gone through this day, have you praised or thanked God today? Now, I realize it's very difficult when we look at the times in which we live and times that we speculate may be coming politically and economically and socially, and certainly even events within our own lives. Sometimes, so many times, it's very difficult for us to praise and to thank the Lord in the midst of such things. And yet, in the middle of those things, there are still reasons to praise and to thank our Lord. Not just a formal, go through the motions, you know, ritualism of the lips, but a true heart thanksgiving. Think of what David wrote in Psalm 65, and I want us to go ahead and read through this psalm to begin with, but just listen to his praise and his thanksgiving unto the Lord, and how we need to hear that probably in our own individual lives, certainly in these times in which we live. But Psalm 65, beginning in verse 1, "There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation, you who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing." You know, as David went through, was inspired to write that psalm, we see so many reasons why, in spite of whatever it is we may be personally facing, in spite of what we are facing certainly within our nation, our society at this time, that we have so many reasons to praise and to thank our Lord. And so I want us to look at some of these reasons as we look at this psalm, and I want us to look at those reasons in the order, if you will, that we experience them. And so beginning with that aspect there of the personal experience, reasons to thank the Lord, we see, first of all, He saves us. Look what we see in the very first part of verse 4. "How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you." Now I realize such statements make people squirm, but the biblical truth is the fact that every part of our salvation is in fact due unto God. What we call the plan of salvation, where God would send His only begotten Son to stand in our place, to take our sins upon Himself, and to die for our sins, to die in our place, to be buried and to rise again, to give eternal life any who place their faith and trust in Him, all of that is of God. And the perfection of that plan, where God the Father actually followed through and sent His Son to die and gave His Son over to death for our sins and in our place. But not only do we see it in the plan of salvation, the perfection of that plan, but our own participation in that plan is the result of God convicting us by His Holy Spirit, bringing us unto Himself, in fact, giving us the ability and the desire to believe, causing us, as Jesus told Nicodemus, to in fact be born again. All of that is of God. And if we know the Lord, we have so many reasons to praise and to thank Him for. Now, if you don't know Christ, I invite you to place your faith and your trust in Him. And if you are there and you're wondering, you know, could that possibly be for you? The fact that you even have a desire to hear what God's Word has to say, I would think is a good indication the Holy Spirit right now is working upon you. And if you're burdened with your sins, that didn't come from you. We don't have enough goodness in ourselves to want to be saved from our badness. That's the result of the Holy Spirit convicting us. That's part of God's work in drawing us to Himself. And let Him have that work in you and bring you, in fact, to be born again. But for we who know Christ, when we look at ourselves and when we biblically look at ourselves and recognize that we're sinners in our heart and we're sinners in our conduct, that we are in fact alienated from God, in rebellion against God, hostile toward God, we are left with no other option than to realize that every part of our salvation is due to God's wonderful grace. And if He has never did anything else for us, eternity would not be long enough to praise and thank Him for His salvation. And so we need to praise God for His wonderful salvation. He saves us. But not only do we see the fact that He saves us, we also see the fact that He forgives us. And by this I mean His forgiving us on our ongoing walk. Unfortunately, and all of us who are believers testify of this, we still commit acts of sin. We still say or do things that we know that we shouldn't, or think things that we know that we shouldn't, or sometimes don't do what we should. We know that we sin in our walk. Now, our sin as believers, it doesn't cause us to lose our salvation, but we do lose, in fact, our fellowship. And yet the wonderful truth of the matter is the fact that by His grace through Christ upon the cross, that there is, in fact, a cleansing available for us. You think of what we read in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about what David expressed here in this psalm in verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, You forgive them. Again, believer, you think about it. In our ongoing walk, we do sin, and you think about the shame, the regret, the defeat, the broken fellowship we experience, the distance that we sense from God. How wonderful it is that through Jesus Christ, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is faithful. He does not forget us, does not turn His back upon us. He is faithful to the promises that He's made to us, and He is just. And the idea being there, the reason that He can forgive us of our sins is not that He just glosses over them. God's holy and righteous. He cannot do that. But the consequence for that sin, the guilt of it, the guiltiness of it, was put upon Jesus Christ, and we confess it. That is, in fact, applied to us. And most of us even have a lot to thank Him for when we think about His forgiveness of us in our ongoing walk, maybe even just in this one day. But He saves us. He forgives us. What reasons to praise and thank Him. But not only do we see His wonderful salvation in saving us, not only do we see the cleansing and His forgiveness, we also see the fact that He answers us. He answers us as we seek Him in prayer. Think of what we see again in verse 2 and then down in verses 5 through 8. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Look at verses 5 through 8. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth, of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by His strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You think about what all he's saying there. You think about the one who made the stars, the planets, the mountains, the seas. That is the one to whom we can seek in prayer. And you think about the one who placed the stars in their place, put the planets in their orbits. You think about in our orbit around the sun. You think about the God who created all that is the one that we can seek in prayer. The one who's in control of every molecule of water that's in the ocean is the one that we seek in prayer. His power is unlimited. His wisdom is, in fact, infinite and perfect. We can trust him in all that he does. What he does and wishes to do is perfect, and he has the power to bring about that perfect will. We have a God who answers us, and we can seek him, we can trust him, and we can go to him, trusting his will. We know that his will is always best. This is the one to whom we lift up our needs in prayer. And even in the midst of having a need, and you may have a great need today, and I'm not taking away from that, but isn't it great to know that even in the midst of a need, this is the God to whom we can bring that need? And this is why even in the midst of a need or a problem or a burden, we can in fact come with praise and thanksgiving even in the middle of it. You think of the God that we get to come to. How blessed we are. But we also see, lastly, he blesses us. Look at what we see in the latter part of verse 4. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. We think about being satisfied, being full, if you will. Most of us probably have that experience more than once a day. If not, we certainly will be looking to that soon. And yet we have to stop and remind ourselves, how did that happen? And think about what we read in verses 9 through 13. It's a beautiful picture. We see that none of the wonderful richness and fullness that God brings into our life, it doesn't just happen. God makes it happen. Look about it, and he's using, obviously, in terms, and it can't be more important than, nothing can be more important than the need to eat. But you think about what we see here, and just God's perfect provision through that, and the way he blesses us. We see that God waters the crop. Look at verses 9 and 10. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. God waters it, and then God actually multiplies the crop. Think of what we see in verse 11. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. And then God increased the herd and the flock, verses 12 and 13. The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks. The valleys are clothed with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. You know, every good thing in life is, in fact, from our Lord. This is exactly what James meant when he said in James 1:17 that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. God is the one who, in fact, blesses us. And even when we, even if we're facing a tremendous need today, and you may, and again, I'm not trying to take away from that, take a moment to think about all the ways that God has blessed you. It's amazing the calmness, the change in our attitude that brings us by just stopping to remember. We have so much to praise and thank our God for his wonderful salvation, his cleansing in our ongoing walk, the way he answers our prayer, and the way he blesses us. And I hope as you go through this day that you're able to remember these things that God has done for you, and that you'll be able to take a moment just to stop and to praise him and to thank him. And especially if you're in the midst of a great burden, a great problem, you're weighed down, it's amazing how just taking a few moments to remember what God has done, praise him and thank him for it, how it changes your whole perspective. And yes, life is difficult. We live in very difficult times. It's not hard to speculate more difficult times are coming. And yet what a wonderful God that we have, how we ought to praise and thank him. And so let's go to him in prayer. Father, Your goodness, O God, goes beyond our ability to express. Father, your wonderful salvation, the fact that you would want to save sinners like us. Father, the wonderful cleansing that you give us in our ongoing walk so that we can remain in fellowship with you. Father, the way that you answer our prayers, you as the Almighty, Sovereign, Ruling God, Almighty, the fact that we can entrust all things to you. And Father, the goodness that you pour out into our hearts, into our lives. Father, you've been so good. We don't deserve any of it. Forgive us for taking it for granted. And forgive us, O God, for not really taking the time to think about it or pray about it or thank you for it. Lord, may we now, from the bottom of our heart, truly praise and thank you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today, even if you're facing a problem or a difficulty, that you can go through today remembering the goodness of the Lord, experiencing His wonderful grace, and knowing His perfect love.